Hello, my friends. Welcome again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. It's Paul, and it's the 11th day of May. Thanks for joining me on this Saturday, the day we tell you about the Sunday release and the message you can expect to view and hear. This one, we're back to video after a week of audio only last week. We're back to audio and video. So, of course, you can access this at our website, paulwhiteministries.com. Our YouTube page is PWM. Or if you just like audio, you get it wherever you get your podcast. The sermon you're going to look for, and we do one every Sunday from somewhere. This one is back at the Garden Church of the Midlands, our home church in Irmo, South Carolina. It was last Sunday morning's sermon. I read from one of the lectionary readings. It wasn't the gospel reading, but it was the second reading from 1 John chapter 5, where John tells us about the love of God and loving the one that loves the parent loves the child, and told us that the mark of that love is that we keep his commandments. And then we walk through what is that? What does that mean, keep his commandments? And it deals with the burdensome commands. When we try to keep the law for righteousness or justification, they become burdensome. In fact, they become deadly. But when we realize that the command of Christ is to love as we're loved, then we find that, and this is the title, burden-free love. We find that we have burden-free love put upon us from God, a love that's unconditional, and then we are able to love burden-free, meaning it isn't a strain for us to love people when we realize we're loved. I think a part of that is that it isn't a strain because we don't hold things against people. And the reason we don't hold things against people is because we've come to an awareness that nothing is being held against us. And if I'm at a space where I know I'm not guilty, and I know I'm forgiven, and I know I'm loved, then how can I hold guilt and unforgiveness, resentment and hatred towards anyone? And so it all comes down to not my effort at loving people, because that will just put me under performance grievances, a grievous burden I cannot bear. But rather, once I walk in and feast on the revelation of how forgiven and loved that I am, then it becomes burden-free to love other people. So look for burden-free love tomorrow, wherever you get your podcast, or if you like video, of course, we've given you those outlets. And this is one that I think will be a blessing to you in your own discovery of how loved that you are and in loving other people. Today we're in Luke chapter 12, verse 49, in a fascinating verse, "I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." We don't think about this kind of stuff from Jesus all that often, and we probably should, because this is the basis of our understanding of what Jesus actually came to do through his announcement of the kingdom. And that what I mean by that is the kingdom could be seen as a fire that burns up everything else. It burns up the chaff of our lives, that which is not productive, that which is a shell of the real us. That's all chaff is. It's not, you don't eat the chaff, you don't grind the chaff and make bread, you just burn it. It's the husk. It's not representative of the real thing or of the whole. And we all have some of that. We all have some aspects about us that are not representative of the real thing. They are just, well, the word's perfect. They're chaff. John the Baptist announced that Jesus would come and baptize us with fire, and that in that fire, the fan would be in his hand, and he would thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the barn, and burn chaff with an unquenchable fire. That would be the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is represented in all of us by the fact that he is the sanctifying fire. But it's also on the earth, he says, "I've come to send a fire on the earth, how I wish it were already kindled." We don't in any way, or I don't think the proper way to interpret this is to mean that Jesus was going to come with a some sort of heavenly flamethrower and burn the actual earth up like a crispy critter, but rather that Jesus was going to bring the furnace of God's love and consume everything that's not real. Paul would say it this way to the Corinthians, that all of us have built upon the foundation of Christ. The foundation is Christ, and we've all built houses. He said some have built with gold, silver, and precious stones, and some have built with wood, hay, and stubble. And he said the fire is going to come and consume all of the wood, hay, and stubble and burn it all up, but the man's soul shall be saved by fire. So the fire is looked at through Paul's lens as a saving fire. When Jesus comes to send fire on the earth, think of it as a purifying fire. It's not peace. He'll tell us that in a couple of verses. It's a division. It's a dividing out of the things that are true with the things that are false. And in that acceptance of him as king in his kingdom, you're going to find yourself living out that division in some ways, in that you're not always going to be accepted by everyone. And you might even find that sometimes, unfortunately, the enemies are those of your own house. I'm not going to make the argument that if you discover something and you can call it quote-unquote truth, that you're right and everybody else in your life is wrong. I think that's a dangerous way to see it. But rather, your walk with Christ will sometimes cost you relationships that you had otherwise held dear. And it'll cost you, not because you don't love them anymore, but because there'll be some things about that relationship that are unhealthy to you going forward, and some of those will have to burn up. We'll get into that over the next few days, but I want you to just think about that 49th verse. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. If Christ is, Jesus told his disciples, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And here's Jesus saying, I wish that there was a fire that burned up the earth. It can't be a fire that kills everyone, or Jesus is fighting against himself. He's doing the very thing he was accused of doing, Beelzebub casting out Beelzebub, a house divided against itself. If Jesus did not come to destroy men's lives but to save them, then what's this fire going to do? So don't think of it as a fire that kills everyone, but a fire that purifies everything it touches. Whereas Daniel said, the kingdoms of the earth have become the kingdoms of our God. And that what Jesus is doing is purifying in us everything that needs to be purified. Now, in the next verse, he's going to talk about a baptism. And I want to just preface it by saying, don't always think baptism means water, but rather baptism always means immersion. Sometimes you're baptized into other things. And we'll get into that as we continue tomorrow. Have a great day. God bless.